Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you what a year we had. You would have to live in Benton Harbor in order to understand what is going on today. Nobody will believe it. We have the worst mayor in the history of Benton Harbor who has blood on all over his hand. We have a city manager, probably the worst city manager that we have ever had. And we had a lot of bad ones too. A lot of bad city managers. But this guy, too old, sleeps on the job. Unfortunately, the people in Benton Harbor do not know. We also have the worst chief of police. There is nobody worse than this guy. He protects his friends, though. Sexual assaults. We got one guy here who has assaulted 6-7 women. They filed a complaint. He never sends it to the prosecutor office and get away with it. Nobody says nothing. But these folks will stand up for something on Facebook. They'll put something on, you put something on Facebook, you would not believe how many smart people we have in this community. They're so smart, they're dumb. But we're going to give out the Sambo of the Year Award today. And so far, we have three people who are very close. And the tally is in already. People have voted. The Benton Harbor Community Water Council voted. And the leading candidate, we had the mayor, Marcus Muhammad, who has blood all over his hand. We had the city manager, Ellis Mitchell, who has blood all over his hands. And we have chief of police, McGinnis, whose hands is full of blood. And it came down, it was close. It was close. I got to say this. It was close. It was very, very close. But Muhammad one, he is the Sambo of the year. He will be getting his award very soon. Normally, when you get the Sambo of the Year award, they have to go and picket your home and do other little things. But it was close. It was close. You know, he always wanted to be smart. You know, sometimes people want to be smart, you know, but they're not. Just be your natural self. That's all it takes. You know, this water situation here is a very, very serious matter. You see, and one thing I hate worse than anything else, I hate to see my black brothers and sisters kissing up to these white devils. And this is what he's good at. First, he was kissing, patting them all on the back of the head. You know, like he's some kind of dog. Maybe he is a dog. I don't know. But Fred Upton patting them all on the back of the head in front of everybody. Say, I guess he was saying, oh, he's a good little boy, you know. All he wanted to do was take a selfie with me so he could put it on his Facebook page. That's what he wanted to do. But then the governor came to town. Oh, now there's a battle. He don't know who, but he's going to kiss. He made the announcement he's no longer a Democrat while he was kissing Upton butt. And then when the governor came, now he's no longer a Republican. He don't know what he is. He started kissing our butt. Oh, and he look, And he thought he was really, really doing something. The governor, I just got off the phone with the governor. So what? Did she have a checkbook with her? Dummy. Black people always kissing up to these devils. Always. I don't know what is wrong with us. It's going to take another 400 years for us actually to get some sense in our heads. Wow. I mean, we are some of the stupidest people there is in the whole wide world. Now, we got some smart ones, but we got a lot of dumb ones. We got folks who want to kiss up to these white devils, knowing that they no good. And here we've been fighting this court system for years, and it's the same old mess. Same old. It's the same thing that's been going on for years. The same thing. How do we face our children? How do we tell our children to stand up for what's right and we don't do it? How do we do that? When you go in that courtroom, you got a 99.9% of not getting justice. A black person never gets justice. I had to go to the Supreme Court to get justice. I had to go because that's just the type of guy I am. I fight everything. And these devils know it, too. These devils know it. Man, who would believe it? And our children are running wild. They're running wild because there is no leadership. The parents don't lead no more. You know, I can count on my mom and dad, you know. But that's me. That was many, many moons ago. But the bottom line is we just don't get it. We rather walk around kissing up to somebody, want to take a selfie with somebody rather than doing what's right. Then got the nerve to blame somebody else. This is why this guy gets the Soundboard of the Year award. Instead of him owning up, just saying, well, I messed up. I didn't call the fire department when my house was on fire. Oh, it was a Republican, Kim Lozada. And look, and I'm no fan of Kim Lozada, not at all. But right is right. Own up, man up to what you supposed to do. That was your job. This is you're the mayor of the city. You're the boss of this city. He said the blame is on the Republican Party. Wow. What world do he live in? He thought he was saying something cute. And here's another thing. The media walk around here trying to act like he's some kind of hero because we filed a petition to get this thing rolling. Yeah. The media had the nerves. They had the nerves to try to make this guy out a hero. I was on Black News and talking to the guy. He said, how would you grade him? I said, F minus. He said, oh, he probably wouldn't agree with that. I said, I grade Adolf Hitler F minus too. And he probably wouldn't agree with it either. Cares whether he agreed with it or not. So those are some of the reasons why this young man is getting the Soundboard of the Year award. And he's going to be in a contest in all 50 states. Everybody's going to have a Soundboard award, and they're going to give it out, and then we're going to have just one big ball. You know, we're going to have 50 Soundboards, one in every state. And they're going to be competing with each other, see who is the greatest butt kisser. I'm betting on my man. I'm betting on Muhammad to win this thing. Because I don't think there's nobody who can kiss butt like him. Ooh, you should see him. Oh, man, he's also awesome, man. He carry about 10 books with him. I'm surprised he don't have a hernia or something or bad back, you know. And he made a statement on TV, if he had a magic wand, he could fix the lead pipes. If I had a magic wand, I could fix you. Unbelievable. And then let me go to our chief of police. Now, you know, he's getting free money. He don't have no risk of nothing. He's getting free money from the residents of Benton Harbor. And the residents, they don't say nothing. Nah, they'll get on Facebook and talk about something that this girl is a B, or this girl is a B and she do this and she do that. They'll get on Facebook and talk like that. Then they think they're doing something, because that's the mentality. See, this is how you destroy a whole community. You start with the educational system. See, that's how you destroy a community. You see, and you do it gradually. You just don't do it all at once. Every year, you start taking away things. You see, they start taking away the wood shop, plastic shop. They start taking away geography or something. They start taking classes away, until now they basically have arithmetic in English. That's it. That's what they basically have. And then this is a community you have who don't know. They can't educate their children because they're not educated. They don't know how, and they'll try to change the math up on you. All you have to do is stick with the basics, and grow into something bigger. Take it one step at a time. That way you have the, see, you got, before you could do anything, you got to understand the formula on how to get from one end to the next. We lack that. We're no longer that strong race who's dying to be educated, be critical thinkers, you know, because they don't want to. Most of the children now don't want to go to school because school is no longer fun. Every student just about carrying a gun. What do they care about that? They take guns from the kids and sell them back into the community. Unfortunately. But yeah, absolutely, which is one of the things, the symbol of the year award this year goes to Marcus Muhammad. He's the symbol of the year, which is huge because he can also get it next year too. You know, every year though, we're hoping for a new candidate, but it is what you do. You know, if you're the symbol, you're the symbol. You, the symbol of the year, goes to the one and only Marcus Muhammad. And Belinda Parker Brown warned me about him. She did. She said, Reverend, that man ain't no good. He ain't no good. He ain't got a good bone in his body. He said, he wasn't even good when he was a baby. Yeah, he wasn't no good. But I didn't listen. And now I feel like, you know, some of this got to fall on me. You see, you got to be able to carry your own weight. And in this case, I was wrong. I accepted him knowing that he was no good. Maybe I was tricked because the minister, Louis Farrakhan, was at my house, you know. I'm not saying that it was a game, but I am saying that I may have been tricked, and the minister have not came out and said anything about him. I remember when the minister attacked Jesse Jackson, pretty much some of the same stuff that this guy is doing. I mean, it was ugly. But that's the thing that we have to change. On that note, I'm going to have to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, the one and only. There's not even two of this person. She's a former Benton Harbor resident with a lot of family here, probably been poisoned by this mayor. And we'll see. But right now, the Sambo of the Year Award is going to Marcus Muhammad. On that note, I'll bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, Belinda Parker Brown. You ask me again, I knock you down. Belinda Parker Brown, talk to me.
It's going down, Pastor Pinckney. Happy New Year's to you and your lovely family. And I am so excited to be on your show today because you are right on, Pastor Pinckney, when you say that he deserves the Sambo Award, you know, for the last 2 years, right? Haven't he? he been coming in first place pretty good here, huh?
Looks like he got a lock on that. This is 2022. He's already nominated for that already. So he's right there where he needs to be.
Well, you're right. He's right there where he needs to be, and I think it's going to be very hard for anybody else to beat him because he was bad from the very beginning, you know. And you're right, Pastor Pinckney. You know, you wanted to, you know, you the type of person you wanted to give him a chance. You know, I remember mm-hmm. when Minister Faircon sat across the table to him, and he made Marcus promise that he was going to do right by the people there in Benton Harbor. He endorsed him for mayor and, made sure that he got behind him to win the election. And, he knew, Minister Farrakhan knew that Marcus would not become the mayor without your support because of your grassroots advocacy. And that he knew that the people would follow you in regards to the vote to get Marcus elected. So were sitting right there, and, I was just very, calm and, collective, and I was listening to the whole thing. But I looked right at Marcus, eyeball to eyeball, face to face, and looked at him lie right between his teeth, because I knew for a fact that that was a bad, 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 bad decision, Pastor Pinckney, for to run him for mayor.
Because
he
what?
Was a sellout. Like you say, he was a Sambo. He was a Negro manager, hand-picked and paid, sellout. That's what he was. Mm-hmm. And I knew that from the beginning. So,
absolutely.
But for him to lie to Minister Farrakhan, go ahead.
But for him I didn't never realize how much he loved these white folks. I could never believe in a million years, but especially by him being a Muslim brother. I know why he became a Muslim brother. That, Minister Farrakhan got him off the hook on something he had did while he was in college. And that's the real reason why he became that's what I was told anyway. I wasn't there, so I can't really only thing I can go is secondhand information. But they did say that the only, one of the reasons why he came, Minister Farrakhan helped him out and saved his butt. So I don't know. Several people from the Nation of Islam had told me that also. But they also want to come. They want to come here, and the Nation do. And have a dinner for me and to show how much they appreciate me. But this is my message to them. What you need to do first is check your boy. I think to me that's more important than you coming here and having a dinner for me and giving me some kind of award. I think you should check your boy. Years ago, That could never happen, Belinda. They would check him. They would check him like it ain't nothing. But I don't even know. I don't know whether they watching the news or reading the news or what, because I just don't get it. But some of the ones that they say, well, what is wrong with him? Well, if you think there's something wrong with him, you need to check him. That's your job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Pinckney, if they didn't know, now they know, because I know that you have exposed Marcus. Marcus have exposed himself. you know, I want to say, you know, about this water crisis that, you know, if it wouldn't be for you, Pastor Pickney, you know, these people would still be in the dark or in the blind about that water crisis. And they're lying about the fact that it just, you know, I think you said that they went back to 2018 when the pipes mm-hmm. and stuff was voted or whatever. That's a lie, Pastor Pickney. And I wanted to, I've been digging through some of my archives, and I have pulled up pictures and video and, you know, information on when we went to that water plant and took pictures of that corrosion and stuff in that whole plant with Etta Harper. I know you remember Etta Harper.
Yeah, very well.
And you was with us. So, I want to know that I'm going to get that information to you. And we need to start pasting that stuff out there for the public to see because, you know, it's so sad that people, like you said, that people want to be smart, but they're so dumb and so easily deceived, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at all the people that's been getting sick and dying, I have had a lot of family members that have suffered from all type of gallstones, kidney diseases, and just all kinds of problems, especially when it comes to, you know, their children being born with lead poison, you know, not able to really, you know, function properly in school and stuff like mm-hmm. that. You know, I know you brung that up, but, you know, it's so many people there in Benton Harbor that have been, you know, suffering and dying and poisoned by this water.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And it's unfortunate, too, because it didn't have to be this way. See, that's
right.
The sad part. It didn't have to be this way. And to me, and it's a black community. If you don't say nothing, if you think the water is okay, then they're not going to do nothing because it's black folks. Who cares about
right.
black people? Black people don't even care about black people, you know. When it comes to black people think, you know, it's all right. I'm going to be all right. I've been drinking this water for the last 30 years. Ain't nothing wrong with me. And they be crazy as a bedbug. They be walking around here, and that's that lead talking, you know. But they just don't get it. They don't get it, you know. And then here's the thing is, they won't stand up for nothing. But if something happened to them directly, then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them.
That's right, Pastor Pickney. You got that right. And that's, like you said, that's that lead talking. But, you know, I wanted to you remember the George Floyd situation when,
uh-huh.
You know, and this is what we're dealing with when you say people, you know, we got these corrupt politicians, we got these people that are in these powerful positions that basically just do whatever they want to do to deceive the people. And when the story initially came out about George Floyd and how he died, it was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lie, Pastor Pickney, but they put it in black and white, and they put it up there for the whole world to see that George Floyd supposedly had died from, you know, a drug overdose. Or, you know, they just
mm-hmm.
lied. And it wasn't until the video came out and told the truth that this man died from that officer having his knee on his neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Now just think about that, Pastor Pickney.
Well, here's the thing. You see, most of them, they lie, and then they cover up their lie with another
mm-hmm.
lie, and then have these white folks. Well, here's the thing. Black folks believe white folks. You
mm-hmm.
see,
mm-hmm.
if the white man said he died from an overdose, it's going to be recorded he died from an overdose. And black folks believe that. You see,
mm-hmm.
white folks, they really don't believe it. But they go along with it just to pacify these, you know, white folks. It's just another black person. It ain't nothing black
mm-hmm.
people to do. You know, they don't think we have no power. We're 50 million strong. 50 million. It's 50 million black folks in this country. They got us down like it's only about 10 or 15,000. The way they got us going.
But you know, right, Pastor Pinckney, but I remember when they made that bald-faced lie up about you.
Yeah.
And you see how that lie was so powerful. That lie went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and you basically had to, you know, you won against them. But after you had spent several years in prison, you know, fighting a lie.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing they're doing to those people in Benton Harbor right now. They're lying about that water. That water have been bad.
Right.
And people are believing the lie.
But
it's so sad because that's what the country is coming down to. You know, they talk about the fake news and, you know, you don't know who to believe and, you know, you just don't know. But the truth of the matter is that the people that's there to protect and serve us, they are the big liars. They are they're hiding, like you said, they're covering up for each other.
And that's what
Marcus is doing. He didn't got himself caught up into the big lie. He got to go along with the big lie.
Mm-hmm.
And when people like you are jumping up and down telling the people the truth, they don't want to hear what you got to say. They want to make it look like you don't know what you're talking about.
Right. You know, and you're absolutely correct. Because, see, any time you find white folks trying to defend a black person in power, you know that there's a problem. But black people don't see it that way. Sometimes black people are just happy to say that, hey, well, he get a chance to go to the governor's office. He get a chance to call the governor. He get a chance to call Fred Upton, but they ain't doing nothing. If I had not filed that petition with the EPA, no money would be coming to. They got so much money coming. Let me say this before. Yo, everybody, water bill is supposed to be paid here. You know they won't pay their water bill. They go around talking about you have to ask for forgiveness. Why in the world would you have to ask for forgiveness if the money is been sent down for you to pay their water bill? Because they're paying their friends' water bill. That's what they're doing.
Wow.
And people are so stupid here. And I'm going to say it. They're stupid. And they knew what they was doing when they attacked the school system. We attacked that system. This is why they don't know them. A lady called me the other day. Well, how come I went down there for them to pay my bill? They told me that I have to write a letter saying ask them to forgive. You ain't got to ask nobody for forgiveness. You're supposed to pay that water bill.
Well, you know, that's how they dumb the people down so bad, Pastor Pinckney, that they just believe whatever these people say. And it's people like you that we appreciate so much. But the sad thing about it is that they don't never want to listen to people like you, me, and others that's telling the truth until it's too late. You know, like you said, when it all boils down to, you know, what about me? Who going to help me? What you going to do for me? You know, and they don't find themselves, you know, doing anything about nothing until something come and knock on their door. They don't do nothing until it happens to them. And that's the sad thing about Benton Harbor. You know, you got people sitting on the sidelines with their arms crossed, looking at and watching what's going on, knowing that it's wrong, and won't do nothing. You know, they should have been and voted Marcus Muhammad out of office. The people that Pastor Pinckney, they should have been and got behind you 100% and got all the resources and reparation and everything for those people there in Benton Harbor. You got the proof. You got the evidence.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
That the water was poisoned.
Right. Even to get the streets fixed, they didn't know. This is when you don't read. You see, you carry books and you don't read. They didn't know that there was money available to repair the streets. And you didn't have to pay it back. All you had to do was apply for it. Every year you apply for this money, and it's given to every city. St. Joe been getting it for the last 10, 15 years. Ben Howard, I went to this meeting, and I told them, I said, there's a program that's been in existence for the last 15 years where y'all have missed out on all this money, and look at our streets. Finally, they went out and applied for it, and then they wanted to take, rather than saying, Reverend Pinckney told us about this, and now we're executing it and make it happen. I don't really care. I don't need no credit. I'm not looking for credit. As long as you take care of my people, you know, we be good. That's all I care about. I don't care about none of this stuff. I don't, you know, you take care of the people, and the people will take care of you. You know, I don't care how dumb they are. It don't make no difference. But they'll take care of you if you're doing all the things that's right. I don't care about these people saying they don't want to do it. My job is to tell you. What you do with that information is on you, Belinda. I cannot do anything other than that. And I can go home and sleep good at night. I sleep good at night. I know that these people don't hate that I blow the whistle. I see, here's the thing. I didn't blow the whistle once on them. I blew it twice. You know, I got the chance of blowing the whistle twice on them people. And they know Negro gonna be, can't blow no whistle on no white folks. What's going on here? You know? So they gonna try to figure out a way how to retaliate, you know. That's their plan. But I'm ready for them. But, you know,
You're ready for them, Pastor Pinckney, because they don't have no more excuses. You know, the people are evolving, and people are not going to tolerate this, you know, as we move forward into this new year. I really believe that it's a lot of things that are going to come revealed, and that people are really going to begin to stand up and support activism like yours, mine, and many others across this country that's saying we're just not going to tolerate this kind of foolishness no more. And, yeah, you deserve to get the credit for it, whether they want to give it to you or not. You know, you deserve to get the credit for it, because if it wouldn't be for you, the whistle wouldn't have never got blown. So not only did you deserve to get the credit for it, they need to pay you for it, because you done saved a lot of people's lives by blowing the whistle on these people, Pastor Pinckney. And I know that for a fact.
Amen. You are right there on point, too. And I tell you what is so, so amazing. We got to keep moving. I use the term stick and move. Just keep moving, because, you know, you're dealing with people who really have no idea what's going on around them. And these folks, they have a plan, and they're executing their plan. You know, we don't have a plan. You see, that's the difference between them and us.
Yeah, right. Pastor Pinckney, there is a movie, and I'm thinking you can go find this movie on Netflix or a Prime Time, one of the shows, but maybe even YouTube. This movie, I would like for the listeners to go. It's called Don't Look Up. And it reminds me a lot. You know, Tyler Perry is in the movie, and I cannot figure out what his role was in this movie, because it really wasn't comical or anything, but it was very curious about his role. I never really understood. But I would love for you to watch that movie, and maybe we can talk about that movie on the next show, Pastor Pinckney. But that movie really shows, it's a revelation in that movie that people really need to see. And it has something to do with how the world is going to be destroyed at the end. When people were running around trying to, you know, telling people the truth, and they would not listen. They wouldn't listen to the people that was telling the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth about what was going on. And at the end, the truth is what won. And my grandmother always told me that the truth don't need no help. The truth can stand on its own two legs. But what have happened is that, like you say, these rich politics, you know, well, I don't even want to call them, you know, powerful people no more, because they really not. They're some dumb, ignorant people. You know, these people that let money just then went to their head so bad, Pastor Pinckney, and that's what Marcus Muhammad is doing. You know, I would, I'm going to tell you, I would love to see, you know, what his kickbacks look like.
Well, remember, he wants to be just like Hightower. But we had rated Hightower the worst mayor until this guy came along. This guy got, you know, this guy is Hightower on steroids. Well, look, Belinda, I got to let you go, you know, but listen, don't forget tomorrow, 12:15,
All right, I will be calling in to the show tomorrow at 12:15, and I'm hoping that I can be able to talk a little bit more about this water crisis, Pastor Pinckney, because people need to know the truth about that water. That's been going on in Benton Harbor. That ain't just started in 2018.
There you go. We got to tell the truth. All right, young lady, I will talk to you very soon, and I got to bring in my good friend from beautiful Detroit, Michigan, the one and only Marcina. She's going to tell us a little bit about her trip that she went to Minnesota, you know, and everything, all hell broke loose. Marcina, come talk to me. What's going on with you?
Well, Pinckney, you're not going to worry me. Sometimes when I hear you talk, it's like a comedy show. But no, it wasn't funny what happened to me. And that was last Sunday, and I couldn't, you know, get on your show then because I was planning on a trip to Minnesota with Delta. And what was so odd about prior to the trip, I had gotten this notification from Delta that was on the 26th of December, day after Christmas. And one of my relatives was going to take me to the airport. And I got this notification and telling me that there's been some changes on the flight and there will be a layover for like over 2.5 hours. So before it was only supposed to have been like 35 minutes. And then it got changed to 2.5 hours. And then I was thinking, you know, in terms of canceling my flight because I had an appointment at Mayo Clinic, and if I, you know, don't get there, that's just a waste of trip. So I was planning on canceling until Delta had written that, you know, if you're in the main cabin, you know, it's non-refundable, so everything would be, you know, would be voided for me, and I didn't know how to go about reaching these folks because they. And when you call Delta, last time I tried to reach them by phone, and the recording says you have 3 hours to wait. So it's this airline, not only because we're during the holiday, but it just seems like it's really common and not just Delta, you know, and messing up people's trips. And the situation when I had arrived to St. Paul, Minnesota, I had some trouble with my left leg, so being cramped up or whatever, and had to get assistance with electric car or wheelchair. So I end up at the gate to go to Rochester, Minnesota. And the lady at the front desk was getting ready to take people's boarding pass, and then the pilot, one of the pilots came out and told her, and then he made an announcement that there's been some problems, and you know we're short of staff, and also the runway is slippery, and I just spoke up loud and that because I'm not going on this plane. They don't have to worry about me. So he went back in the plane. He comes back minutes later and with another a pilot and said that the plane would not be moving tonight and might not be moving tomorrow. So I had to sleep on the floor. I don't know where the other passengers went, but I slept on the floor with a cot, and me and this other guy, white guy, he I don't know where he was going, but they had gotten two cots for us, and boy, at a distance, they had two cots, so it wasn't comfortable. I was very distressed, and all I saw was the pilots. They all left. They left the flight attendants. Everybody left. There was no hotels nearby. No one came to us to try to fix our serious problem for me. That was the main reason why I was going because to Minnesota because I had these medical appointments. So I never made it. I end up getting a flight back to Detroit, which was the next day, which was the 27th. My ticket said 4 o'clock because the lady who was at the front desk before she left to go home, she gave me that and told me I could, contact reservations or whatever. So I did it early in the morning, and I ended up on standby. And by the way, they lost my luggage. We're talking about January the 2nd, 2022. I still don't have my luggage. No one has talked to me about compensation. About my luggage, about me missing my appointment, about the tickets that I paid for, was almost $600. I hadn't heard anything. I wasn't real concerned about the luggage, and I never checked in the luggage. That's the strange thing about it. The luggage, they got the luggage when I was boarding on the plane to DTW in Detroit. Because they said they had so many people on the plane, they encouraged folks to, check their luggage. And I did that on the kindness of my heart, and that was not in my favor. They don't know where my luggage is. They, meaning Minnesota, when I, arrived to Detroit, I went to the baggage, and they couldn't locate it on the computer, and so the lady said she'll file a baggage claim, report on that. And I tried to call up and nobody answered. I don't know what number. It's a general number when it comes down to your loss of your luggage. So I can say this: what's happening is with the COVID-19. Dealing with, and the all the traveling across the world, this is not an isolated case. This is the first time I experienced anything like this. But plenty of people have been stranded. Plenty of folks, their luggage, they couldn't find their luggage. It was on the news and all that. And because of the global pandemic, a lot of can't fly a plane without the pilot and with the flight attendant and the support staff, the mechanics and all that. So if they don't have that in place, no, the plane's not going anywhere. So that's what was going on in some of the airlines. And one of them just happened to be Delta. They short of staff.
It sounded like the flight from hell or something. Man.
Exactly. And so, we're dealing with a lot, and people don't understand what's going on behind the scenes, with these people that work for the airlines. So if they're not coming to work because they're sick, they got COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So, they can't come to work like that. And speaking of that, the CDC made an update. Rochelle Walensky, that she recommended to shorten the recommendation isolation and quarantine period for the general population from 10 to 5 days. Well, the airline union called foul on that, and, doctors and other medical staff, because in essence, if a person who has COVID, they're rushing them back to work. So all they think about is the economy, drive. And so there's a problem with that, about this mandating folks to go back to work within the 5-day period. There's this stipulation, if you're asymptomatic or whatever. Because the Omicron, they claim the symptoms are mild, but they really don't know too much about Omicron. They say Omicron, same thing. So that's global. It's all over the world. And they said, you know, in many cases there's no hospitalization and all that. So they making assumptions where they really don't know. It is one of the variants, and it oversees the Delta variant as far as the cases. It's here in the United States. It started off as South Africa, and so it's spreading everywhere, and it's super fast. In the United States, they reported one death. I don't know how many and who's doing the tracking or whatever, but the point is they make an assumption based on this Omicron with a minimum symptoms or whatever, and people who have been vaccinated twice, they are getting infected. That's called a breakthrough infection. Because they've been vaccinated to prevent them from getting COVID, and they got COVID. So these so-called experts don't have all the answers. The people are still getting sick. The young people are dying. White folks are dying. The ones that did the anti-vaxxers, the anti-mask, they end up in the hospital, and some of them not here today. And they want to threaten the doctor to kill them if they love one, you know, dies or whatever. But my point is, nobody's safe until everybody is safe. This is it's a worldwide pandemic, and we can't put it under the rug. And then people say, when's it going to end? How is it going to end when you got various states don't want to do a mandate? You got these white supremacists don't want to wear a mask, and then they want to, you know, go with their AR-15s and we call 47, whatever, assault weapons, and attack the state capitals across the country. Here in the state of Michigan, I know I don't have much time, but here in the state of Michigan, when Governor went 2020, it was over a year ago when the Republican Party, the House of Representatives, the Senate, and they went against her emergency ruling and have a mandate to wear a mask. And they wasn't going for that. They went to the Supreme Court and they ruled in the Republican Party's favor. And guess what? Escalation of COVID cases came about when they were saying, or they took her off of it and then had the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services run everything. And so what happened was it got lax. Folks were going in the stores with no mask on, you know, hee-haw, and going to the bars and all that. This stuff spread real, real fast. Going to the gym, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so And that's why we have, right, even to this day, 2022 civilization cases is way up there because people just want to do their thing and don't care about nobody else. They walk around with this deadly virus, and it's so easy to spread, especially with the new Omicron.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
And not wearing proper masks.
Yeah, you got about 30 seconds, so go and finish it up, and let's move on. But that is something really serious.
Well, I just want to say that we all have to do our part. Make sure you have a proper protective mask that have at least five layers or whatever. I don't care if it's KN95 or any of those disposable masks. Wear two or three of them. Practice social distancing and, basically, and then be tested. Many people should be tested to see if they felt that they had come across somebody who has been exposed to COVID-19 or a member they said they had the COVID-19. They need to get tested so they won't be walking around spreading this and don't know it, including people who've been vaccinated. You know, I just want to say, to make sure that everybody, you know, do their part, so be here to see another day.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate that. You have a great day, and we'll talk soon. All right. That was my good friend from Detroit itself. Let me bring in my good friend Lee. I know Lee got something to say. Talk to me, Lee. Give me an update. Where you at? Lee, are you there? Lee. All right, let me move on then. All right. No, Lee. Hey, what's up, James? Talk to me.
Hey, what's going on, Reverend Picnic? Happy New Year.
You got it. Hey, the same to you, my brother. This is going to be one of them great years because we're going to put it together. We're going to stop all this crazy stuff and start building for the future for our children. Because so far, we done dropped the ball. We dropped the ball in 2021. We dropped the ball in 2020. We dropped the ball in 2019. We dropped the ball in 2018. It's time for us to change.
Well, Reverend Pitney, the only way we're going to change, we have to change. We have to realize who our real friends and real enemies are. You know, I'm pretty sure Ben Harper is just like the city of Detroit. Detroit still have so many vacant houses in the neighborhood. And see, that was by design. You see, when you don't have your neighbors to turn to, you lost your power. You lost your power. You are forced to talk to who? You talk to your black radio host. Every day you tell them your problems. This is why your problems don't get solved. You're talking to black strangers. When you had your neighbors, that was your power. They've broken up your power by taking your neighbors from you. We have to get back to know who our neighbors are.
Right, James, that is a strong point. I like that part you just said,
because
I know years ago we knew everybody in the neighborhood. We knew everybody.
That's right.
And everybody knew you, and everybody was happy. We really didn't have nobody breaking in the homes because everybody knew everybody. Now, most people don't even know their next door neighbor. They don't know nothing about their neighbor. They don't know nothing about them.
Because now your next door neighbor may be 10 houses down. There's a nine vacant houses. You still have to, now we have to regroup. We have to reprogram ourselves. Go down to every neighbor on your block and have your neighbors on the next street over do the same thing. Get back to know who your neighbors are. See, all of this is by design. You talk to your radio host, they can't solve no problem. See, when you go to your Chinese restaurant in your neighborhood or you go to the Arab gas station, ask them what radio station do they listen to. Ask them what radio station do they call in to about their problems. Then we'll learn. Because how do they come over to this country? They bring them over, or they give them a green card, or they bring them here. We was forced here. Our ancestors was brought here on a slave ship, and we still are last. Why are we still last? It's because our silver black activists have been bought out. They've been bought out. How is it Detroit can be 85% black and black folks lose the city of Detroit and they got all black radio hosts from 6 a.m. in the morning to 10 p.m. at night every day? And they constantly, every day, they call in on these shows and they say the same thing over and over again. Anytime a black person, man or woman, call a black radio host and say, "What should we do? You're doomed already. Talking to somebody that can't solve your problem." President Biden came here how many times in the last 5 months? Not one black radio host said, "Black people, let's get our signs together and let's show the president we need help." Not one radio host said that. See, we're talking to the wrong people.
James, remember this too. Biden said that he got our back because we had his back. It don't appear like he got our back. That's what it appears. It don't appear at all.
See, you didn't read the fine print. You didn't read the fine print when he said he got your back. When he became a state senator, what, in 1972, what did he say? See, you got to remember what he said at first. He said, "I wouldn't send my kids to school with black kids going to school." Now, how many white kids go to Ben Harper school with all blacks? That's why Biden didn't go to Ben Harbor when he came up here a few months ago. See, he only going where white kids go to school at. See, we got to look at that. That's what we got to do. See, we got to think fast and start thinking for ourselves. But we got the black radio host doing the thinking for us. You lost your city of Detroit, and you got all black radio hosts. They might as well play country western music. That's what they might as well play for Detroit. Detroit has been taken over, and they're not going to get it back. Baker Lake Thompson, he always talking about Bob Marley this, Bob Marley been dead. See, he write his columns. He should have wrote in his columns, we need a collection for Ben Harbor. He didn't do that. He's not going to do that. See what I'm saying? And I hear you talk about the soundboard. Well, let me tell you this about the soundboard. There was a woman who come out with that idea first about 3 or 4 years ago, Abby Hitchcock, for the city of Detroit. I called in and nominated Al Sharpton.
Let me say this. I was at one of some of them soundboard dinners that they had, and I believe me, that was huge because then here what I like most. I like them going out picketing. Whoever win the Sambo War, go picket their house. I really like that because it shows the people, even down here in Detroit. I mean, down here in Benton Harbor, there's a major problem. Hitchcock, I love her.
Reverend
Pickett,
I know the show finna end. I got a couple of things I need to say right quick. Show finna end, but I nominated Al Sharpton for the first Sambo Award when she ever had it. Sam Reynolds told her to take Al Sharpton off the list. But I'm going to say this. On the 20th of this month, when I spoke about that era that executed that little 6-year-old baby boy and a 28-year-old babysitter, the trial is coming up this month on the 20th. And I'm going to see how many black radio hosts talk about that because they're not allowed to talk about it. They all know about it. Trial has been put under the rug. How do you execute a 6-year-old baby? Shoot his brains out of his head. Then they took the 28-year-old black babysitter, shot her brains out of her head, and then chopped her head off. And these black people won't talk about that. They only going to talk about a white person killing a black. But these Arabs been killing blacks, and they're getting away with it. For some reason, black people are scared to talk about this. This happened October 1st. 2020. They skipped all over in 2021. They postponed the trial. See what I'm saying? This incident happened less than 20 miles from National Network headquarters in Detroit. Sam Reynolds won't talk about it. Bankole won't talk about it. Lavonia won't talk about it. Queen Weaver, I talked on her show. She promised to talk about it, but then come time to talk about it, she kicked me off her show. She won't talk about it. Folks who we look up to, stop looking up to them. Get your neighbors back, you get your power back. You have to get your neighbors back because your new friends is nothing but your new enemy. That's what they are. How is it that you can talk to these radio hosts every day about your problem and you can't get one problem solved since they've been on the airwaves? All the foreigners, they don't listen to the radio. When they listen to the black radio, these foreigners, that's a comment.
And here's another
thing.
White folks
don't
listen to
black folks.
White folks
don't listen to black folks. And see Chinese people when you go to their restaurant, what radio station do they listen to? Because we need to start listening to the radio station that they listen to. Because when Biden became in office, every executive order he passed, black people weren't included in none of them.
Right.
Not one executive order. And black people... Stop begging these black radio hosts to solve your problem. They don't live around you. They don't live with you. They don't care about you. They can pay to keep you down, and you don't see it. How can you listen every day to the same ones telling you the same thing over and over? You ain't solve no problem.
That's
you can't solve a problem talking to black radio hosts.
James, we ran out of time.
See what I'm saying? They can't solve no problem.
Next
you need to listen to the station that the Arabs listen to, the Chinese listen to, the Mexicans listen to, because they get their problems solved. And you don't hear not one of them on a black radio station.
All right, James. We will talk next week, same time, same station.